Now let us turn to the chapter of the Bible which we read, which is Proverbs 31. Proverbs chapter 31. I'm taking two verses as my text. Verses 10 and 30. Proverbs 31:10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, not all of you, but most of you know that we have been conducting a number of sermons over the past few weeks on texts taken from the book of Proverbs. This will be the last in our series now, and if we spare them well, in coming weeks, I intend to take some of the parables of the New Testament which are taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. So, all being well, we should be looking not at Proverbs next time, but at the parables of Christ in the Gospels. Now I would like to say to you that Proverbs is a book that ends with a happy ending. The Bible itself ends with a happy ending. What are the last words of the Bible? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. That's how the Bible ends. It's a happy ending. And it's a happy ending because those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are all going to have a happy ending. They may not have a happy life very much in this world, but they will all have a happy ending when they go to heaven. And similarly, the book of Proverbs has a happy ending. It talks about many evil things in this world, sins of various kinds, cruelties, brutalities, immoralities, murders. The book of Proverbs talks about all of this, and it has to talk about it because these are real things in our real world. But the book of Proverbs comes to an end with a happy ending. Now, what is this happy ending? It's a description of a godly woman. A godly woman. You see, society is made happy when women are godly. Of course, you say, it takes men to be godly too. That's right. But to have godly women is one of the greatest blessings to any society. That's what makes life happy. When the woman in the home is a woman who fears the Lord. Well, you would have noticed in the reading that the assumption here in Proverbs 31 is very much the assumption that she's married. But let me make it clear, godly women in the sight of the Lord are blessed whether they be married or not. And of course, not all women are called on to marry. Not all men either. It's up to you. Nobody forces you to marry or not to marry. It's up to you. God has given us the right to say yes or the right to say no when it comes to questions of marriage. But the big thing, whether she be married or not, is, says Solomon here, that she should fear the Lord. Now, a great deal is made of this because in the present world, it's usually all the wrong women who get the praise. Those who are film stars and very rich and put on glamorous clothes, or popular singers who have a microphone in their hand as they go crooning, or Maybe the actress is on the stage and everybody applauds their skill as actresses. But that's not the kind of woman God praises. The world praises them, but not God. The kind of woman the Lord praises, the woman who fears the Lord, who respects God, who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the kind of woman God praises. And he will praise her when she dies. And he will praise her in the day of judgment, when she has to stand to give her account, as we all will, before God, in the end of our life in this world. So, this is what God is doing. He is saying to us that the virtuous, godly, faithful, believing woman, whether married or unmarried, will get her praise from God. Men may not praise her, but God will. My dear friends, it doesn't really matter who praises you. If God praises you, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. God's praise is all that matters, really, in the end. Well, now the first thing here is that the godly woman gets her praise from God. Now, why should God praise the godly woman? Why should God do this? Well, it's first of all because very few people praise godly women in this world. Very few do. If you're a godly woman in this world, very often the world's attitude to you will be, she's very old-fashioned. She's very narrow. She's very strict. She's not the sort of person you can have any fun with. No, that's the way the world talks. So God brushes all that nonsense aside. He said, don't you listen to what the world is saying. I tell you, says God, you will get your praise from me, whatever the world thinks. And there's another reason here. A godly woman is one of the greatest treasures possible. She is able to do things which are very difficult for anyone else to do. God has placed her in a position in this world in which she can do wonderful things for the kingdom of God. Well, when you read the Old Testament, you come across the names of women who are outstanding for the good things they did. Sarah and Rebecca and Rachel and Hannah. You know, the things they did were wonderful. And these are not the only ones. There are six Marys in the New Testament. Did you ever work that out? Six women called Mary in the New Testament. And every one of them was good. They were all virtuous women. Mary Magdalene, Mary of Bethany, Mary the Blessed Mother of Jesus, and others. They were all godly. And they're not the sort of people that are praised in this world. They're overlooked. But they're a treasure to society and to their own loved ones. In the book of Romans, we'll meet a woman called Phoebe. And Phoebe is called a servant of the church at Cenchrea. Now, that doesn't mean she was a preacher or an elder, but it meant she was a servant. She had devoted her whole life to helping the church. As I'm going to say in a little moment, women are not called to the ministry. Women are not called to preach. I'll give you the evidence and reason for that just in a moment. But this woman, Phoebe, devoted all her time, strength, and energy serving Jesus Christ. And that was a very honorable thing. And Paul said, she's a servant of the church, receive her with the honor she deserves. She was an honorable woman. And some women have devoted their whole life to serving others in missionary service abroad. You've all heard of Mary Slessor of Dundee. Mary Slessor, as she was working and Dundee had the loom or tussin, the mill where she was in Dundee, what was she doing? She was reading the Bible, reading the Bible, reading the Bible, preparing to go to West Africa. And when she got there, she did a tremendous job helping the people, black people, to know the gospel. They called her the White Queen of Calabar. They loved her so much. She brought Christ's message to them. Unmarried woman, did a great work for God. Another one was Amy Carmichael. Have you heard of her? She was a great missionary to India. And there she gathered the orphan children into special homes which looked after them. And she cared for them, protected them, and taught them the Christian faith. Amy Carmichael. It's rather interesting. She always wanted to have blue eyes when she was a little girl. But she had brown eyes. And when she went to India, she realized that God gave her brown eyes because all the Indians have brown eyes. So she fitted in well with them. That all her books were printed with a blue cover, just to remind us all that as a child she'd wanted something which wasn't good for her. God gave her something which was really good for her. So, you see, unmarried as she did a great work. She had no children of her own, but did great work with other people's children, teaching them, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, worldly people only think about beauty and the face. Isn't that what all the fashion world is about? How to make the face look better and the skin look fresher and the hair look crisper and all of that. Well, these things are all right in their place. But what God prays is not your hairstyle or your complexion, but your soul, your heart, your character. That's what God is looking at. The Lord doesn't look at the outward part of it. He's principally looking at the soul, at the heart. And that's why God is praising this godliness of the woman who fears the Lord. Let me read you verse 30. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but the woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Now I mentioned one or two unmarried women. Mary Slessor and Amy Carmichael and many, many others who served God faithfully in this life. But let me mention one or two married women too who also did great work for God. We've all heard of John and Charles Wesley. They did tremendous work in the 18th century when they lived. John and Charles Wesley. John Wesley went all over England and Wales, went to America preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. Thousands heard the gospel through the lips of these men on horseback from village to village and town to town. Now, it was the mother of these two Wesley brothers who did the great work which everyone's inclined to forget, because John Wesley's mother and Charles Wesley's mother, she had about 17 children of her own. Can you imagine that? Girls and boys. And she lived in a Church of England manse or church house, and she would get the children in the kitchen. She would teach them the Bible, teach them the catechism, teach them the Word of God, teach, discipline them, putting them right. They weren't allowed to cry with any noise. She learned to cry quietly. She disciplined them in every way, brought them up in every way, so that when these young men went to university and were converted, then or later than then, they had all this instruction. It was their mother who shaped their lives and made them very much the people they were. There's another great woman too, Mary Winslow. Have you heard of her? Mary Winslow. One of her most famous sons was Octavius Winslow. Now you may know that the Latin name Octavius means the eighth, like October, which once upon a time was the eighth month, but is no longer so. And Octavius Winslow, he was the eighth son in the family. And they were all godly boys, and all did great work for God in this world. Can you imagine what a contribution she made? Mary Winslow, a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. So then, I say to you, my dear friends, let us understand what it is that God would have the woman above all else to seek, to have, and to be. And it's so different, isn't it, from the things of this world. And talk about a woman's merely beautiful face or beautiful hair, clothes she wears, the fashions, And all these may have a little place. But what really matters is the woman's heart, her character, her soul, her respect for the things of God and of Jesus Christ. And my text says to me, she will get her praise from God. Woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised by God. Well, now the next thing I have for you is this. Secondly, this is an important message for young people. It's an important message for young people. Why? Well, because young women are always being targeted by this sinful world to behave like the world. The world's message to young women is this: be like us, dress like us, adorn yourself like us, be worldly like us. And they tell a lot of lies. They say, if you don't make yourself like us, you'll never get a husband. If you don't make yourself worldly like the world, then you're going to lose out. You're going to be left behind. As I said, you'll be on the shelf. Now that's what the world is saying to young women. And God is saying, don't believe it. You put God first in your life, and he'll see to all the rest. Prove him, trust him. Don't worry about these outer things so much. Get your heart right with God. Obey his commandments. Listen to what God is saying. He will see that you don't go short of all the good things that he's able to give you. Them that honor me, says God, I will honor. And them that despise me, says God, shall be lightly esteemed. And that is a rule, a principle, and it applies. And so you see, it's important for the young people to see this. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is for a man to have a godly wife. That comes out so much in this chapter. Did you notice it? The things that a godly wife is, she stands behind the husband, as it were, supporting him in every way. You know the old saying, behind every good man, there's a good woman. Did you ever hear this? It was said by a bishop of the Church of England. He was talking about the ministers in his area, his diocese, which is a Church of England word for a parish or a district. And the bishop said, half the ministers in my diocese are made by their wives. And then he added, the other half are ruined by them. That's true. It makes you smile a little bit, but it's absolutely true. It's not really funny at all. Half the ministers in this world are made by their wives, and half are ruined by them. That's a tremendous message, isn't it? Not just of ministers, but others too. So the Bible teaching is this. If you're a young man in need of a wife, then you know what to look for. You know what to look for. If you're a young man and you're not married, then the Bible says, pray that God will give you a godly wife. That's the kind to look for. That's the kind to be on the lookout for. That's the kind to pray for, with fasting if necessary, because it's such a serious thing. Oh, my very dear friends, people treat male and female relationships today so casually. But it's catastrophic to them. They ruin their own lives, and if they have children, they ruin the lives of their children. It's catastrophic. When a man and a woman come together, God said it must be within the bounds of marriage. Marriage is God's ordained way for a man and a woman to live together. Nowhere else, no other way. Marriage. That's what God says. Now, that means that a young man who's looking for a wife should be looking for this kind of wife, the virtuous woman. And the Bible says they're pretty scarce. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Well, now you don't go around looking for rubies in the back garden, do you? We have a nice field there between us and the sea. You can walk around the field as often as you like. You won't find many rubies there. They're scarce. But so are godly women, scarce. You have to look carefully for them. You have to pray God to give you one if you're in need of a wife. because they're rare, like diamonds, like jewels, they're precious, and they are scarce enough in this world. Now, the Bible says this, it's not good for the man to be alone. That's why God created the woman. I hope you all understand that God made the man first, and then he made the woman from the man. So a woman is a female man. They're the same person, only she's been given a slightly different body because of her function as a woman. But now, listen to what Matthew Henry, the great commentator, says. Very helpful. Some of you will know this, but others may not. The great commentator Matthew Henry says this, God took the woman from the rib of the man. He took the rib, and from the rib he made the woman. Now he said, God did not take the woman from Adam's head to be his ruler or his master, nor did he take the woman from his foot to make the woman his slave. He took the woman from his side, where his heart is, so she would be close to him and a companion to him in affection and love and sympathy and understanding. Now, that's good teaching. That's exactly what God has done. And it is not good for the man to be alone. And it's not everybody who can afford to go unmarried. God has given us a nature which normally, not always, but normally requires marriage. And if a person feels they need marriage, then they should seek to be married. Yes. We hear things about Roman Catholic priests, and the Bible says it's of the devil to teach that you must not marry. If to forbid marriage, says the Bible, it is a doctrine of Satan and of the devil. Because, you see, God made us in such a way that we, not always, but usually most of us need to get married. We need it. And if you forbid it, then you pervert the human heart. And other things come in which are twisted, which are horrible, hateful to God and hateful to man. But that's why God has given us this wonderful ordinance, which we call marriage. One man to one woman for life, normally. There might be unusual circumstances. But that's the normal way. So the Bible is saying to young men this, marry a wife who fears the Lord. Listen, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Now let me move on and say this. It's very clear from this chapter that normally a woman's work is based on her home and on her family. Let me pick out one or two verses. I take verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. So she's feeding her family and servants, if she has them. Again, let me take verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. All her household are clothed with scarlet. That means that they're all suitably dressed. In the winter, they have good clothes on. And you feel so sorry when you see little children sometimes scampering about in cold weather, and their clothes are not suitable to keep them warm. Now, a good mother never allows that in ordinary circumstances, assuming that she has the ability to buy clothes for them. And you see, the godly woman, she's concerned about her family, her children, as well as her husband. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's very busy. Now, let me make it very clear. The Bible says, whether people like it or not, that a woman must not become a preacher. Oh yes, she can preach to her own family in her own home. It's all right for her to take women's meetings. But in a mixed congregation of men and women, the woman must not preach. Where is that taught? Well, I'll give you the references if you want them. 1 Corinthians 14:34 says, let your women keep silence in the churches. 1 Corinthians 14:34. Let your women keep silence in the churches. It doesn't simply mean that they're not allowed to speak to a child in the pew beside them or something. It means they're not allowed to be official preachers. Another text, still clearer perhaps, is 1 Timothy 2:11 and 12. Paul says, I suffer not a woman to preach, or to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now that is good biblical order. And it's not something which Presbyterians have invented. It doesn't belong to the Free Church of Scotland, continuing or non-continuing. It belongs to the Bible and to biblical religion. And women, don't you feel badly done by if you're not called upon to be preachers? Don't you feel disappointed? I can tell you, you should be very thankful you're not called upon to preach, because it's very responsible to devote your life to preaching the gospel, studying the Bible night and day, all your life, pastoring a flock of people, preaching them. I assure you, it's not a sinecure. It's not as easy as falling off a log. No, no, it's a very demanding task. And the woman is not called to do that. She's not suited to that in many ways. So that has to be clear. That's why in our circles we do not ordain women. And I once met a young woman who said to me she felt called to preach. And my wife and I had to explain to her from these texts of scripture that that's impossible. God doesn't call people to preach if they're women. And she ignored it and became a preacher. Well, she'll have to answer to that, of course, in the day of judgment. But the Bible is very clear about that. There's a divine order in marriage. And the order is this. The husband is the head of the home, and the wife is his helpmeet. And these, again, don't arise from what's called male chauvinism. It's not that men are throwing their weight about. This is the biblical order in society. God has made the man to be the head of the family and the woman to be his helpmeet. And when this biblical order is observed, then society benefits. Because God's way has got to be the right way. Because he is God. And he doesn't make mistakes. Now, it's very clear from this passage that the woman is the center of the home. There's a verse in Titus chapter 2 which says, women are to be keepers at home. That doesn't mean, of course, that they must be there night and day all the time, but it means that that's their principal sphere of influence. It is to be in the home with the children, if there are children, and teaching the children, bring them up. She has the main role and the main responsibility for that. That's very clear from the teaching here of this passage. So, the strength of the family unit is very much connected with the good order in the Bible, which he gives to us for society. The father's responsibility, he takes the lead. He takes the first duties of leadership in the home. What does that involve? It means every morning, every evening, he reads the Bible and prays with his family. Perhaps part of the psalm is sung too. So that's what the father does. He leads the family, he gathers the children, he gathers wife and family together in the family, he reads and prays, and they consult him on main decisions of life. He's there to be consulted and to give advice and leadership and guidance. And the woman's responsibility is she specially cares for the children, looks after them, protects them, instructs them, and so on. These are the great things. So the mother's role in the family is crucial. And my beloved friends, whoever gets into Parliament next time, whatever the colour of their politics, doesn't so much worry me. What is to me most important is to get society back to the Bible, back to the teaching of these fundamentals. That's where we're going wrong. It's not simply the problem of banks, the billing societies, or the interest rate. It's back to the Word of God. That's what will put our nation where it was. It was Puritan religion that made Britain the great nation it was. It was Puritan religion that made America the great nation it is. To get back to the Bible is what will make our nation great again. And these are the principles of the Word of God. So as I close then, A virtuous woman clearly is a home maker. A home maker. She must attend to the things of the home. She must attend to the things of the home. And she must make a happy home. Because if a man's not happy in his own home, he won't be happy out of it. And the danger is he'll be looking round for somebody who will make him happy. That's a sad fact of society. The woman's task to make the home a place her husband and children are happy to be there. Next thing. We're told here, her husband is known in the gates. That is to say, because of her support, the husband is well known as a man who has a happy relationship and all is well in the background of his life. The children the same. So then, as I close, let us put all that the Bible here says together. Let us give great affection to godly women. Let us show them great respect. Let us esteem Christian women as they deserve to be, whether they're young or old. Let us treat them with that respect and honor that they deserve. Give them their place. And because God gives them their place. Husbands, love your wives, says the Bible. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, be in subjection to your husband, says the Bible. And children, it says, honor thy father and thy mother. And when these basic rules of the scriptures are applied and brought into people's lives as families, it makes all the difference to the well-being of the home and of society at large. So, as I close, I say, this is why I say the book of Proverbs has a happy ending. Because this is the way of happiness. Godly women, faithful women, women that honor the Lord, they shall be praised. Amen.